Done with frizz? Say goodbye to that poof. Repel humidity and tame those flyaways. One drop, frizz stops with John Frieda Frizzy Serum. Your hair talks and frizz never interrupts. John Frieda Frizzy Serum. One drop, frizz stops.
Only from John Frieda.
Want to make your blonde blonde? Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day. Your hair talks. Make a statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection. Only from John Frieda.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm Lucas Ann, and thank you for listening to Locked On Clippers. If you like the Locked On Podcast Network and you're interested in joining our team, this may be your chance. The Locked On Podcast Network is hiring a national sales manager. You can be a part of the fastest growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, NFL channel, and the entire network to our national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com with your resume. That email address again was lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com. Now enjoy the show. Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han, and today is Tuesday, June 13th, 2017, and an NBA champion was crowned last night. So we'll get into that and a little bit more in today's episode. First, I just wanted to note that we did not have an episode yesterday. I had a little bit of a brief one planned that I was going to put up in the afternoon, and then I just decided it would probably fit best to do, you know, incorporate it with talking about last night's game into one longer episode today. So we'll talk about Game 5 of the NBA Finals and the end of that series, as well as get into a little bit of free agency stuff that I was going to put in yesterday's episode. So first, let's dive into the finals. Let's talk about it. Game 4, Cleveland wins at home. I think it's probably about as well as Cleveland could have played. And, you know, I said all along, Cleveland is certainly capable of beating the Warriors. Any team can beat any team on any given night and all that. But Cleveland particularly has the offensive firepower to outscore them. And I think that's something that's big because the Warriors are so dominant offensively. Now, we forget a lot how good the Warriors also are on defense. But, I mean, that's just one thing right out the gate. Can you score as many points as them? Because you could play amazing defense. You're never going to stop the Warriors. We see sometimes teams with great defenses can win games 88-82, or even playing really strong defense, you know, 105-97, something like that. You're not going to beat the Warriors in those games. You have to score a lot of points because no matter what you do, there's no NBA defense built in the history of the league that's going to hold the Warriors routinely to a low scoring average, especially given the current rules, you know, with the hand check, the illegal defense. It's just not going to happen. So the Cavaliers needed to be able to score, and that's something that I noticed even before the series began, that they had all these shooters on the bench, so they're capable of getting hot and putting up points. And in game four, they had like that perfect storm of offense. Almost 50 points in the first quarter, 80-something in the first half. It all came together. But then in tonight's game, they fell back a little bit closer to Game 3 levels, where they played very, very well. Let's not say that, you know, they didn't play well, but just that they weren't otherworldly. And I think Golden State, to their credit, was a little better in this game than they were in game 4 as well. And so, ultimately, it didn't end up being enough. But just look at the supporting cast for the Cavaliers in this game. Off the bench, Jefferson, Williams, Shumpert, and Korver combined for 7 points. There's not a lot of help coming there. The Cavaliers were lucky that they got an otherworldly night from J.R. Smith, who was 9 of 11 from the field, 7 of 8 from deep for 25 points. But Kevin Love was only 2 of 8 from the field for 6 points. He didn't have a good night. He missed a few open looks from threes in big moments. And then on the other side of the ball, the Warriors just overwhelm you. Kevin Durant, 39 points on 14 of 20 shooting. Steph Curry, 34 points on 10 of 20 shooting. It didn't matter that Klay Thompson didn't have a great game. Iguodala was huge in this clincher. 20 points on 9 of 14 shooting. And that was it. That was all that it took. I think it's telling that when the Cavaliers play well, the Warriors don't... You know, I mean, for Klay Thompson and Draymond Green to combine for 21 points and you to win the game by 9 with Cleveland putting up the effort that they did shows the talent disparity between these two teams. I think Cleveland played a strong series against the Warriors, and they lost in 5, and they could have easily been swept, honestly. They won in Game 4 because they got, like I said, that perfect storm of offense. And so now the Golden State Warriors are the new NBA champions. And I think this is a difficult thing, maybe, for some of us to reconcile, even though, you know, really you should have been dealing with it since July, so it shouldn't be catching you off guard, but it's still kind of weird. It's weird. Now, I know people are quick to try to find an asterisk, right? Well, they only won because it doesn't really count, but if you just think about 2 years ago when the Warriors won the 2015 championship, and there's all this talk about, oh, the teams that they played were all injured, there's this huge asterisk, history is gonna isn't gonna remember this as like a legitimate championship. That's wrong. You know, the 2015 championship was a legitimate one, and so is this one. I don't think you can put an asterisk next to 2017 NBA champion Golden State Warriors. I don't think you can. They were the best team all season long. They dominated the playoffs. They handily won this final series. If your best argument is that they were too good, you know, because they got Kevin Durant, I don't think you can put an asterisk on it. What are the Warriors supposed to, what are they supposed to do? Not sign the best players willing to come to their team at the price point they have available? Not try to make their team better in any way possible? Of course they're going to. Every team does that. If there's one thing that I think you can put an asterisk on, it's Kevin Durant's Finals MVP. I think if you try to hear 10 years from now someone say, oh, well, Kevin Durant was an NBA champion and player X, player Y never was. Well, if this is Kevin Durant's championship, it doesn't count for much. Charles Barkley could have gone and signed with Jordan's Bulls. And he, you know, then, yay, Barkley would have a ring, but no one would think of it the same. And, you know, Chris Paul could take the minimum this summer to go play with the Cavaliers, and they might win the championship next season. But people just wouldn't think of it the same. And even then, there's a difference between joining a good team that fell short and a team like the Warriors that had just won the 2015 championship, had the best season in NBA history with 73 wins in 2016, and then barely lost the championship with kind of, you know... Now, again, this isn't to put an asterisk on Cleveland's 2016 championship, but I think it was fluky. I think a lot of things broke the right way. I don't think anyone would argue that the Warriors were the better team in 2016. And I think, if anything, these last 2 years of LeBron beating the Warriors and then putting up this monumental effort in the loss to them this season kind of cements his greatness in my mind. You know, yeah, he lost, and he lost in 5 games, but on paper, this series, you know, I'm for him to pull this team behind him like he did in this series is unreal. And the level at which he dominates is unreal. And we saw flashes of that from Kevin Durant, especially, I think, his most impressive game, one of the most impressive games I've ever seen from Kevin Durant, I thought was last night's Game 5 clincher. It was like, especially down the stretch of the fourth quarter, when the Cavs were just trying to scratch their way back into the game. They get it back down to 5, Durant makes a play. They get it back down to 4, Durant makes a play. They cut it from 12 to 10. And you're thinking, well, if they get a stop and get another fast break, they start it. No, Durant's going to come make a tough shot over a defender. I mean, not only 39 points on 20 shots, but 14 of 20. 70% from the field with the level of defense they were throwing at him, with the incredibly high degree of difficulty and the hugeness of the moment, 70% from the field. I think the most impressive game I've ever seen from Kevin Durant. But you go back to last July, and it was a weak move. It was a weak move to join a team that won 73 games last year. To join a team that should have been the champion last year, but fell short in the finals. The team that was the champion the year before, and the team, let's be honest, just because the Cavaliers beat the Warriors in 2016 didn't mean the Cavaliers were going to be the favorites in 2017. The Warriors were the favorites to win the championship in 2017 before they added Kevin Durant. And that's what's weak about it, in my mind. So how do you reconcile? You can't put an asterisk next to the Warriors championship. They would have won anyway. And they deserve to win. They're the best team in basketball. As much as I dislike them, it's true. But I definitely put an asterisk next to Kevin Durant's involvement, because I think it was a very weak move. And yeah, you can play his Nike commercial, the new one that they waited until after he won to air, because, yeah, I mean, whatever. I think it's silly to paint Durant as, you know, overcoming something. Oh, he overcame so much. He joined the best team and coasted to a title. It's like saying, oh yes, I went to the best private school. And then I got into college. I overcame so much. You know, there's nothing wrong with going to a good private school. But don't act like you came out of a high school, you know, some underserved public high school in a bad neighborhood. Don't act like you overcame all these challenges when you had the silver spoon. And Kevin Durant took the silver spoon. And I see a lot of people kind of making these false equivalencies between basketball and real life. Like, people say, well, if you had a chance to leave your company for a better company, why wouldn't you? Sure. But it's different. It's different. I don't think people look at businesses, even businesses that are competing with each other in the marketplace. It's not a sport. It's not direct athletic competition. And if you are right on the edge of beating another team, or right on the edge of being better than another company, why would you jump ship? You know, I mean, and this is not, I'm a big proponent of player movement and player freedom, and Kevin Durant should be able to sign wherever he wants for however much money he wants, whether it's good for the league or not. Sure. But I'm with Doc Rivers, man. As a competitor, how do you go to that team? I mean, look, when I was in high school, I played for Saugus High School. We got our butts kicked by Hart. My freshman year when we played them, they blew us out both games. They blew us out at Hart and at Saugus. None of us went and transferred to Hart. We all could have. Sure, we could have. And, you know, maybe not myself, but some of the best players on my Saugus team could have transferred to Hart. And Hart would have gotten that much better. And then those guys would be able to say, yeah, you know, I want a Foothill League championship. But in sports, there has to be some level of loyalty or competitiveness. There's more to it than making a sound business decision. I think that's, you know, it's so important to so many fans in that sense, that I'm not asking Kevin Durant to give up millions of dollars or play somewhere his family doesn't want to play, but it seems like he could have almost done anything but bandwagon onto the Warriors and it would have been acceptable. Because I was okay with LeBron going to Miami and forming that new team with those guys. And I was okay with LeBron going back to Cleveland. I was okay with Carmelo forcing his way out of Denver to New York. I was okay with Chris Paul forcing his way out of New Orleans, although I would have had similar thoughts about it being a weak move if he had forced his way to build a Lakers super team. But I don't know, it's something, the idea of one of the best players in the game joining a contender that he can't beat. You know, I don't really care when David West switches from the Spurs to the Warriors. David West is a ring-chasing veteran backup. And I don't care if a guy like Gordon Hayward moves from Utah to Boston, from a good team to another good team. I wouldn't even care, you know, from this competitive standpoint, if Chris Paul moved from the Clippers to the Spurs, which I really don't see it happening, but I don't think it would be a weak move. You're going to try to build something new with the Spurs. But it's when you go as a star, as Kevin Durant, you could argue, is the second best player in basketball behind LeBron James. You're a guy who should be carrying a team. And instead you go and just slot into this team that's already great without you. How could Kevin Durant be the finals most valuable player if his team would win without him? Now, that's not to say he didn't deserve the finals MVP compared to who else was on the court and blah, blah, blah. Okay, yes, if I was sitting in press row in Oracle Arena last night, I would have voted for Kevin Durant for finals MVP too. But there's just something off about it. It's hard to quantify, but I think that if you act like it's normal, like it's fine, like it's all cool, you're probably being just as disingenuous about it as someone who would go and say, oh, it doesn't count, they suck, it's not a real championship. Of course it's a real championship. They're the best team in basketball, and they deserved it. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why it doesn't bug me that they won, because as much as I don't like the Warriors, I am... Sometimes I find myself in awe of how good they are and how wonderful of basketball they play, because they play a wonderful brand of basketball that I find very appealing. Aside from, you know, Draymond's theatrics, the flopping and the whining and all that, and the dirty play also. But he's a great player. Steph and Klay are shooters like no other. I love Andre Iguodala. But, you know, just as a Clippers fan, it's hard to like them. I definitely don't like them. But they're the champions, you know. And again, it's something that we saw coming. They deserved it. They're the best team in basketball. So I don't have a problem with them being the champions. It definitely doesn't irk me as much as it irked me 2 years ago. And I definitely don't think it bothers me as much as those last championships that Kobe won with the Lakers. I really didn't like those. But, you know, the bigger thing for me than Golden State winning this championship, because they definitely deserve this championship, is next year and the year after that and the year after that. And you can't say with certainty Golden State's going to win the next five, which I've seen people say. Sports are too random for that. You never know. I mean, the number of teams that make runs like that across all sports, across all time, is so rare that you can't take it for granted that just because you have this dominant team, they're going to stay together and stay dominant, and no one else is going to rise to the occasion. That said, they have a chance of doing it, which is unique in a good and a bad way. You know, some people will argue, well, having this dominant team is bad for the league. Some people argue, oh, well, it's very good for the league. And I think it can be both, depending on the perspective you're looking at. It definitely causes a lack of interest in fans of other teams. That's certain. I know a lot of Clippers fans who are almost, like, tuned out because they just feel like the Clippers don't have a chance against the Warriors. Even if the Clippers win a game, even if the Clippers have an exciting playoff run, it doesn't matter. The Warriors are going to be the champions at the end of the day. I think it drives up interest because you've got a team making history before your very eyes. And I know that even though, like I said, I don't like the Warriors, that really appeals to me to be watching a team make history potentially over the next few years, even if it's a team that I don't like. And I also think that a super team being bad for the league is overstated. Let's be honest, most Clippers fans don't watch the Clippers because they feel like we're going to win the championship this year. Just because that has maybe been more realistic in the last 5 years than the 10 years before that, doesn't mean that's why we're watching, because we watched for the 10 years before that too. And even this season and the year before, when we felt like, oh, really, there probably wasn't much hope because of how good the Warriors were, we still watched. I don't watch the Clippers all season long because I think they're going to win the championship in June. I watch because I like watching basketball. And I think there's enough people out there that just like watching basketball that it's not going to be necessarily horrible for the league in the short term. And I think in the long term, it's good to have these legends to hearken back to, if you will, like, you know, Bill Russell, that era of Celtics, the Larry Bird Celtics, the Magic Johnson Lakers, the Jordan Bulls. I don't know if there's, you know, there's a lot of more contemporary teams. Kobe's Lakers, the two different three-peats, the Duncan era Spurs that have now continued into the Kawhi Leonard era Spurs. Maybe we should just make it all the Popovich era Spurs. LeBron dominating the Eastern Conference, both in Cleveland and Miami. And the Warriors now breaking through in the last few years to who knows how long to come. So maybe it's good that we'll be able to look back at 10 years and say, oh man, that Warriors team. Maybe it's good that we're getting fresh names in the record book. But that doesn't make it any less hopeful for fans of the other 29 teams who, I mean, Cleveland has to be feeling like they really have to go make a Kevin Durant level splash to really compete with the Warriors in next year's finals. Like, they would have to go get Paul George for nothing. That's like so hard to do. You can't always conjure a superstar out of thin air. And even then, the Warriors would probably be favored. That's what I'm trying to tell people when we talk about Carmelo Anthony. I want the Clippers to get Carmelo Anthony because I think he makes them a better basketball team, and I think it would be more enjoyable to watch, and I intend on watching all 82 games next season and the year after and the year after, and I think it'll make those games better. But I'm not going to go and say, oh yes, if the Clippers get Carmelo Anthony, they'll beat the Golden State Warriors. I think the gap between the Clippers and the Warriors is much bigger than Carmelo Anthony. Now, if you go get Carmelo Anthony and a guy, maybe. So maybe if you were able to put like Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward, Carmelo Anthony, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan on the floor. That's a lineup, right? And even then, you're still the underdogs. But, you know, that's more of a lineup. But you're talking any of these fill-in shooting guards, Courtney Lee or Austin Rivers, you're probably not beating the Warriors with that team, especially defensively with Carmelo. So it makes the league weird. It's weird that there are a lot of teams like Boston just waiting. There are always going to be teams like Minnesota that are letting their core develop instead of rushing them. But it creates such an interesting dynamic for the current league that so many teams, even good teams, aren't really going all out in the short term because they really feel like the gap between them and the teams at the very top is just too large to close. So I'm curious, you know, if you guys have any thoughts on this. I know it's super kind of complex and meta, and I've been rambling about it for a little bit now, but what do you think? You know, is it good for the league? Is it bad for the league? Should there be an asterisk next to the Warriors title this year? Should there be one next to Kevin Durant and his finals MVP? I obviously think no for the team, but yes for Durant as an individual, because he took the easy way out. I mean, if I signed a 10-day contract with the Warriors and didn't appear at all. And then they gave me a ring at the end of the season because they won the championship. Should that count? Should I be able to say, like, well, I have an NBA championship ring when I didn't do anything? Now, Kevin Durant did a lot. But was he necessary? They were favored to win without him anyway. They were going to win. I firmly believe that the Warriors would have won this championship with Harrison Barnes. Especially keeping Andrew Bogut at center, because you never, you know, obviously he got injured in this version of history, but you don't know how things unfold if he stays with the Warriors. But it's just kind of fascinating to think about it all. So let me know what you think. You know, you can always email me at Lucas Jahan or tweet at me, or tweet at me at Lucas Jahan, email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Now, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time, and it's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to. And none of these other ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code, enter promo code LOCLIPPERS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCLIPPERS today. Now, I talked about the finals for longer than I thought I was going to, but I'll briefly take a look at some of the free agent targets, as I discussed at the beginning of the podcast, because I don't want to drop that teaser in the intro and then not mention it at all. But what I'll probably do is just briefly mention some of these guys and then go over it a little more in depth in one of this week's other episodes. So maybe I'll do a Wednesday episode where I kind of combine a more in-depth look at these free agents with another batch of free agents as well. And then I also want to get to, at some point this week or next week as we gear up for the NBA draft, talking about a couple different creative ways that the Clippers could trade into the draft. Either moving DeAndre Jordan for a downgrade at center and a piece, a prospect, or a wing player or a draft pick or some combination of that, or moving Jamal Crawford's kind of friendly contract for a bad contract and a pick. So, you know, the Lakers with Deng and Mozgov, the Trailblazers with Crabbe and Turner are two examples of teams that would likely be willing to part with a pick. Lakers 28, Portland I think has like 15, 20, and 26. In exchange for being able to dump that bad contract onto you. So those are a couple of creative ways the Clippers could get in the draft. So we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But for now, let's just briefly talk about some of these mid-level exception wing targets that I mentioned in an article on Clips Nation yesterday. So if you're really interested, be sure to go check that out. But I talked about four guys: Tony Allen, Thabo Sefolosha, Ben McLemore, and Justin Holiday. So Tony Allen, here's my logic for picking these four guys. I think that no matter what happens with the Clippers, they're going to need to add someone in that 2-3 mold. Now, obviously, if they keep this Redick, Crawford, Rivers grouping, they don't need a shooting guard only player, because all three of those guys are primarily shooting guards. But they could still use, you know, a lanky athletic wing that can play multiple positions and play especially small forward to help out Luke Mbamute, because they didn't really have a backup small forward last year. But if the Clippers swing a Carmelo Anthony deal, they could be left with just one shooting guard, maybe Austin Rivers, maybe Jamal Crawford, maybe Courtney Lee, or no shooting guard at all. So, you know, this is a position where the Clippers could definitely need some help. Now, Tony Allen, I think, is my least favorite name on this list because of his age. He's 35 years old. He's injury prone. He can't shoot offensively, and we've seen that plague him. Now, and at 6'4", he really is only a shooting guard. You wouldn't be comfortable playing him at small forward in a lot of matchups for extended minutes. So, it wouldn't make me happy, but I guess it wouldn't make me surprised to see Doc Rivers go after a guy like Tony Allen. I think one thing to keep in mind is that presumably you're giving Chris Paul and Blake Griffin 5-year contracts. So you are opening up this 5-year window to compete with these guys. Now, it's possible that Chris Paul and maybe even Blake, because of his injury issues, are toast by the end. But it's also possible that you're still good. And at the very least, you're not going to have cap room to rebuild. So I'm operating in this like 5-year window mindset. And so for me, adding a 35-year-old doesn't make sense, because by the end of this 3-year mini mid-level contract, he's going to be dead weight. I would actually rather give it to someone who 3 years from now, when this 3-year $16 million contract is up, their bird rights have some value. So Tony Allen is off the list in that case. Tabo Sefolosha, who's 33 years old, his bird rights aren't going to have value when he's 36, but he's at least more likely to be playable for the full 3-season contract. And at 6'7", you're more comfortable playing him really at either position, shooting guard or small forward. He's more capable of a shooter at 34% each of the last couple of years, even though he's not great. We know he can contribute to good teams. He played on those really good Oklahoma City teams with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. This is another type of guy that I think Doc Rivers would like to go after. An established veteran role player who he knows he can kind of plug and play at different positions, and he'll be a productive 3-and-D guy. Now, there's two kind of lesser-known names that I think are worth a look. The first being Ben McLemore from Sacramento. Now, McLemore is 24 years old, so for all of his drawbacks, he has room to improve. And now, I'm not a big subscriber into the belief, oh, well, if a guy's young, he's going to improve no matter what. We know that's not true, even though if you play NBA 2K, the guys always get a few points of overall rating better every season. That's not the case in real life. Some guys go through great improvements between their age 30 and age 31 seasons. Some guys are amazing from the beginning. Some guys start out better and fade. Remember Al Thornton. I think on the Clippers, you don't need to look any farther than J.J. Redick and Luke Mbamute for two guys who are having the best stretches of their careers much later than you would expect. So players don't follow the standardized curve that they do in the video game. But Tabo Sefolosha at 33 is not going to get much better than he is today. Tony Allen at 35 is definitely not going to get much better than he is today. Ben McLemore could get a lot better. He has room to at 24 years old. And even if he's just a solid contributor for these 3 seasons, by the time he's 27, his bird rights are very valuable towards re-signing him. He has decent stats. He shoots the ball fairly well. He had like his lowest minutes ever in Sacramento in his 4th season out of the starting lineup, which kind of makes you think maybe they decide not to extend that qualifying option to make him a restricted free agent. And I mean, if they decide to extend the qualifying offer, which is worth about $4.2 million, you assume they would match a contract that the Clippers offered him in the $5.2 million range. But if they decide not to give him that money, they want to use the money somewhere else, and they're willing to part ways with him, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent, then if the Clippers have moved shooting guards for Melo, they have an open role at shooting guard for him, it could be a chance for him to come and build his value playing on a much better team in a much more functional environment than the Sacramento Kings organization. And then the last guy, Justin Holiday, is maybe the least sexy of the names on the list, but probably the most solid. He's 28 years old, so while he's not a young pup, he's still going to have value to be re-signed after a three-year contract with the Clippers. And last season, he was just solid in a backup role with the New York Knicks. 20 minutes a game, 8 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist, 36% from deep. He played in all 82 games. And you just think, you know, it's easy to see him not having a lot of value because he hasn't done a whole ton in his career. He's already 28 years old, so it's not like there's crazy upside there. And it's not like he blew anyone away last season, but he was just solid in that 20-minute-a-game backup role. And he's 6'6", so you can play him at both wing positions, although he'll struggle a little bit against bigger small forwards. But then again, the Clippers have Luke and Bamute for those guys. So I think he'd be a really nice cog if you can afford him at that price point. Because if he can just replicate last season, 8 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist in 20 minutes, 36% from deep, 82 games, he's a solid, like, 8th or 9th guy in your rotation. And I don't see what more the Clippers, you know, not only need, but could possibly ask for at this $5 million a year price point. So we'll get into more free agent targets in the weeks to come, talk about some trade stuff, but I just wanted to briefly touch on that after spending most of the episode talking about the NBA Finals and really kind of pondering what this Warriors championship means, especially Kevin Durant's involvement in it. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan or email me lhan.clipstation@gmail.com. And be sure to check out the Clips Nation blog. There's good stuff going on there every day, www.clipstation.com, and follow on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.